Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
We're brothers, we're happy and we're singing and we're colored. Give me a high five!
When these other members of Congress came down with COVID, did that stop the Democrats? Did they ground Congress to a halt? Did they stop legislating? Did they stop?
We treat so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well.
Our forefathers weren't the pilgrims. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. The rock was landed on us.
You're listening to True Information with Marquis Davis and Grown As Man. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of True Information Season 2.
Season 2!
I am Marquis Davis, and I am here with...
Grown-ass man, tell your mom about me.
And today, with the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg a couple weeks ago, we want to talk about the Supreme Court and its importance. What is the Supreme Court? Why is the Supreme Court... And who is the Supreme Court? So
these are all great questions. Yes.
So, grown man, you are the true and true information. I'm just to hear. Do you have what do you have about the Supreme Court?
So, ladies and gentlemen, I am actually pulling this from SupremeCourt.gov.
Propaganda.
Really?
No.
Wow. Established by the United States Constitution, the Supreme Court began to take shape with the passage of Judiciary Act in 1789 and has enjoyed a rich history since its first assembly in 1790. The Supreme Court is deeply tied to its traditions of the federal government's three branches. The court bears the closest resemblance to its original form, a 225-year-old legacy. Oh, excuse me.
Okay, so they're saying that after 225 years, the Supreme Court has not really changed that much.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And right now I'm just paraphrasing or reading. For all of the changes in history, the Supreme Court has retained so many traditions, like we just said. It is still called the first court that still stands. Justices have perpetuated a tradition of longevity of tenure. Basically, once you become a Supreme Court justice, yo, you're in. And like,
yeah, you're there for life.
You're in there for life. For life? Let's see. Justices, current members: John G. Roberts Jr., okay. Chief Justice,
yeah.
Clarence Thomas, Associate Justice. Stephen B. Breyer, Associate Justice. Samuel Alito, Associate Justice. Sonia Sotomayor, Associate Justice. Elena Kagan, Associate Justice. Neil M. Grosch, Associate Justice, and Brett M. Kavanaugh. You have Sandra Day O'Connor, who is retired. I believe Sandra Day O'Connor was the first
female chief
Chief Justice. Yeah. And the second was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I believe.
I don't think she was ever Chief Justice.
You might be right.
You know, one thing that's great about the Supreme Court, okay, is that it follows the flow of how our government, federal government, runs. All right, the president appoints a justice, and the Senate confirms the justice.
Yeah.
So you don't just become a justice because someone says, "Oh, well, you know, you have a law degree. Here you go." You know,
yeah, law degree.
It's a process, as we saw when Kavanaugh was appointed. You know, it's a process. And I love that we have those flows within our federal government to make sure we check and balance everything that happens.
checks and balances are important. The judiciary, the executive, and the shoot.
Come on, you got it. You got it.
I said elective. Well, executive, judiciary, and
the
legislative.
Oh, okay, right. There we go.
So legislative makes laws. Mm-hmm. Judiciary, executive approves the laws, and a judiciary upholds the law.
Yep.
Those of you who did not know that, and partly I didn't either.
So
until I remembered it.
The Supreme Court has made some great decisions on cases in the past, like Roe versus Wade.
Yep.
You know, so they made some controversial decisions in regards to, say, slavery. What's the case? Where the escaped slave? Jesus.
You mean Amistad?
No. Normally, I would know this one. Let me do some Googling here.
Give us free.
No, I don't think it was that one. That was Dred Scott. The Dred Scott case.
Oh, the Dred Scott decision. Yes. Yeah, that was a good one.
You know, Plessy versus Ferguson, 1896. Marbury versus Madison. So now I'm taking you guys back into your history lessons back in high school. You should know what Marbury versus Madison was, right?
Let's remind them, unless they grew up in a state that kind of, you know, pickled out on actual history.
So Marbury versus Madison. Thomas Jefferson defeated John Adams in 1800's presidential election, okay? Mm-hmm. Before he took office in the Judiciary Act of 1801, which created new courts, added judges, and gave the president more control over appointment of judges. The act was essentially an attempt by Adams and his party to frustrate his successor, Thomas Jefferson, as he used the act to appoint 16 new circuit judges and 42 new justices of the peace. The appointees were approved by the Senate, but they would not be valid until their commissions were delivered by the Secretary of State. William Marbury had been appointed Justice of the Peace in the District of Columbia, but his commission was not delivered. Marbury petitioned the Supreme Court to compel the new Secretary of State, James Madison, to deliver the documents. Marbury, joined by three other similarly situated appointees, petitioned for a writ of mandamus compelling the delivery of the commissions. So that is what Marbury versus Madison is about.
Okay. What was their ruling?
What was the ruling?
Yeah.
What was the ruling? I don't know yet. I can't remember. Hold on, give me a second. Marbury Madison, the ruling was this is Marquis Davis's looking up stuff music. Do do do, because I don't ever have anything pulled up. Do 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 do. In a unanimous 4-0 decision against Marbury due to illnesses, Justice William Cushing and Alfred Moore did not sit for the oral arguments or participate in the court's decision. First, did Marbury have a right to his commission? This is what their opinions are, okay? Second, if Marbury had a right to his commission, was there a legal remedy for him to obtain it? Third, if there was such a remedy, could the Supreme Court legally issue it? So, now understand, this is how the Supreme Court gives their decisions and opinions, okay? Written by either the Chief Justice or whoever the side that, like, say, if one side said no, one side said yes, and the side that said yes won, the higher ranked justice on the winning side writes the opinion, and then you have a dissenting opinion from the other side. Okay,
right.
But since this was a unanimous decision, the Chief Justice wrote the opinion. So first, Marshall wrote that Marbury had a right to his commission because all appropriate procedures were followed, right?
Right.
But because Marbury's decision was valid, Marshall wrote Madison's withholding of it was volatile of a vested legal right on Marbury's point.
Okay.
So this pretty much set the precedent for judicial review and striking down laws. That's why it's important, the Marbury versus Madison case. So when you have cases where they go to the Supreme Court, this case set the precedent where the Supreme Court can either say that's against the law, so no, or this law is right, so yes.
Right.
That's the general idea of the Marbury versus Madison case, if you guys needed a brief history lesson today. But now we got to talk about President Trump's replacement of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I was going to go into more, but okay.
Well, you know, people get kind of bored with history.
Well, no, this is, I was going to go into landmarks.
Oh, go ahead. So, what landmarks?
On uscourts.com, you can Google it. Supreme Court landmarks. And by landmarks, we mean very important rulings of the Supreme Court. Uh-huh. Bethel School District versus Frazier, 1987. Students do not have the First Amendment right to make obscene speeches in school.
Well, that would be, you know, common sense, but you know.
No, it's not common sense.
We lack common sense.
No, no, no. We have common sense. People lack common sense, but the idea that a student can make an obscene speech and then call it free speech, no, you can't. Not on school grounds. Board of Education of Independent School District of Potawatomi County versus Earls. Random drug tests of students involved in extracurricular activities do not violate Fourth Amendment. Things I didn't know. Brown versus Board of Education, 1954. Separate schools are not equal. Ooh. And this was out of the Plessy versus Ferguson in 1896. Cooper versus Allen, 1958. States cannot nullify decisions of federal courts. Really? Think about that, folks.
Think about it.
Because I think the last show we talked about how we have states and how come the states can, we don't have like, what did you say? It was the last show. Last week's show.
States and federal government. That's what I said.
Yeah, so basically, and I gave the example, you stupid. Federal government makes the bigger laws that cannot be broken or superseded by the state, and the state has its own particular flavor of laws that it wants in each state. That's why from state to state, the laws may vary, but federally, they cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we said last time. So in Cooper versus Aaron, states cannot nullify decisions of the federal courts. They can't go against them. Engle versus Vitale, school initiated prayer in public school system violates First Amendment. This is in 1962. In New York, a little bit of history about that. In New York school system, each day began with a non-denominational prayer acknowledging dependence upon God, specifically God, not Allah. Not anybody else.
Well, Allah translates to God. But I don't know. Okay.
It does, but you know, some people are stupid. So this action was challenged in court as unconstitutional establishment of religion in violation of First Amendment rights.
So this pretty much created the separation of church and state.
No, no, it didn't create the separation.
It instilled the separation of.
It instilled the separation of church and state at a elementary school level. Gideon Wainwright
Indigenous? Are we trying to say that?
No, indignant.
Oh, indignant.
No, indignant. Nah, there's no nuts on there. That's why. Indignant defendants must be provided representation without charge.
Oh.
Gideon was accused of committing a felony. Being indignant, he petitioned the judge to provide him an attorney free of charge. The judge denied his request. The Supreme Court ruled for Gideon, saying that the Sixth Amendment requires indignant criminal defendants to be provided an attorney free of charge. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed to you. That is in Miranda rights that is supposed to be read to everyone who's arrested. Just a little hint for you folks. If you're arrested and you aren't Mirandized, as the term goes, if you weren't Mirandized, you aren't truly arrested.
Well, I thought we got rid of the Miranda rights.
Nope. Miranda rights are still on the books. And if you are arrested, then you are pardoned because they have to state why you're being arrested. They have to. And it's not just probable cause. Anyway, I'll read a few more, then we're done. Goss versus Lopez, students are entitled to certain due process rights. True. Gutter versus Bollinger, college and universities have to have a legitimate interest in promoting diversity. Colleges and universities have a legitimate interest in promoting diversity.
See, now let's harp on that real quick. So I've had a lot of people ask me, so why do we have historically black colleges? Well, that's because black folks weren't able to go to some of these historically prominent colleges here in the United States, such as like Yale or Harvard or, you know,
the Ivy Leagues,
and other colleges.
Or even the regular
even the University of Alabama.
Missouri State.
You know what I'm saying? So they had to create their own colleges, and that's why you have HBCUs, historically black colleges, because they had to create a way so black folks could go to college. And and this ruling was like, listen, you get colleges have to start accepting everybody, you know, start looking at everyone's application to come there.
Yeah, start looking, because diversity was understood to be a good thing. So in 2003, Barbara Grutter alleged that her equal protection rights were violated when the University of Michigan Law School attempted to gain a diverse student body, resulted in the denial of her admission application.
Now understand, this was a white girl.
Yeah.
And she had a valid point, because let's think about this. As certain colleges and schools get money based on how diverse they are. They get money based on the number of black, Hispanic, Asian, foreign
people of color.
You know, they get money based off of that. You know,
and disability too.
And it's sickening. You should always base someone off of their creed and their abilities, regardless of their skin tone. If you made all A's in high school and you happen to be black, then you should be able to get into any college you want to. If you made all B's in high school and you should be able to get into any college you want to, that will accept you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not because you're black or white. If you don't have the credentials, you should not get the job.
No, you're very much correct. On the other front of that, you should not be discriminated against based on what you just said. You should not be discriminated against based on anything except your grades. Mm-hmm. What was your A? Like when you were in high school, Marquis, what was the numerical value of your A? What, I'm guessing between
a
90 and 100?
Yeah, 90 and 100.
Okay. My high school, it was 95 to 100.
All right. No.
A B was 90 to 94.
Well.
So you see, like, so an A at my school literally meant it was harder to get in my school. It was like just more difficult to get and maintain an A than it was at other schools. Excuse me. Sorry. I'll edit that out too. But it was difficult to get in other high schools. So when high schools looked at when colleges looked at my high school, the Ivy Leagues anyway, they were like, oh, no, wait. Yeah, these are good. These are good. But if you go to the other high school it was in my neighborhood, their students getting 90s weren't held as high. And they actually did that differentiation. But no, you're right. At no point in time should anyone be disqualified from going to a school because of their nationality or gender or disability. But in this case, Barbara Grutter was upset and said that her rights have been violated because she didn't gain acceptance into this law school because the law school wanted a more diverse body. Now, whether you're white or black or brown or yellow or red, however you want to call it, if your grades aren't better than the person in front of you or person behind you, you ain't getting in.
You know, and then I like to equate this to, what is it called, the affirmative action.
Yeah.
You know, if your qualifications aren't legit or meet up to the standards that we need at this job, then why am I going to hire you? Oh, because you're black? Well, no. You're not going to do or fit what I am requiring at this position. You know?
Well, see, my understanding of affirmative action, you know, when used in its truest form, you got two guys or two women who both scored a 95 or have a B average or an A average or whatever, have the same exact resume. Mm-hmm. The only difference between these two people just so happens to be where they grew up, quote unquote, or the fact that they are two different races. The affirmative action in trying to make sure that the workplaces were more diverse took that application and sided it with the person who just so happened to be the minority.
Well, at the time, I understand why it was implemented. At the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in today's day and age and culture, I don't think we still need it.
I mean, do we need it? No, necessarily. No, because everyone should be now used to having to, everyone having an equal playing field. Mm-hmm. See, once the play, because affirmative action was created because the playing field was not even. Mm-hmm. It was a whole bunch of white guys. And don't take offense to what I'm saying. Look at the statistics. The jobs that weren't, the all the white collar jobs were white guys, everyone. And then when you start having affirmative action, you started receiving, you started seeing a couple of black faces. You started seeing, not black faces, black people, excuse me. You started seeing a couple of Latinos. You started seeing more women.
Yep.
So affirmative action was literally trying to do the same thing that the Roe versus Wade or plus, no, not Roe versus Wade, but Plessy versus Ferguson, Brown versus the Board of Education was doing, and making sure that diversity did not just die off after high school when they integrated schools. Diversity continued through college and through the workplace. Now, with in this particular case, the Supreme Court disagreed and held that institutions of higher education have a legitimate interest in promoting diversity. Her rights weren't violated. The school has a right to pick after acknowledging the person has a right through standards, mm-hmm, to be here. The school has a right to say, we wish to have someone who is people who are more diverse. Hmm. So we choose it like this. Now, she did not get in because of that choice, but her rights were not violated.
Yeah, I bet she probably got into a better law school anyway.
Maybe. I mean, it is Michigan law, so I mean, there is always Harvard.
always better schools.
So let's see. And that was in 2003. One more for the road. Miranda. Miranda versus Arizona. Mm-hmm. 1966. After hours of police interrogation, Ernesto Miranda confessed to rape and kidnapping. At trial, he sought to suppress his confession, stating that he was not advised of his rights to counsel and to remain silent. The Supreme Court agreed, holding the police must inform suspects of their rights before questioning. Miranda rights. That's how it came about. 1966. So prior to that, cops would just arrest you and start asking you questions, and you had to know that your right to, one, remain silent, and two, have counsel in front of you as you are being questioned. You had to know that already.
Yep.
Well, after 1966 in this Supreme Court ruling, it now became a requirement that police officers inform you as you're being arrested of your Miranda rights. And so the name was coined.
Miranda rights.
Miranda rights. Now, so those were the landmarks. And I thank you for letting me do that, because that was actually kind of fun for me.
Yay.
I'm going to keep this up because I want to read more. Okay. But continue.
So now we are going to dive into why picking a Supreme Court justice is so important and pivotal when one either dies or leaves or retires.
And they don't retire, so they have to die.
So Ruth,
like, they have to die
Ruth Bader Ginsburg just passed away. And we're in an election cycle. So from everything mm-hmm. that I know, when a Supreme Court justice passed away before an election, the president at the time does not pick a new one to be confirmed by the Senate.
That's true.
That's just what's been the tradition and has been upheld forever. It happened when Obama was leaving office. And yep. at the time, Mitch McConnell said, we're going to wait until we have a new president in order to do this. Well, now they've kind of flip-flopped and said, whoever Trump picks, we're going to confirm him.
That's I don't like the way that was done. Personally,
you know,
continue.
I'm a traditionalist, and I believe that if we have a precedent that's already been set by years of doing it this way, we should continue it. Because I remember that was a strong push for people to say Obama should recommend or sign a Supreme Court justice when he left because of the vacant seat. And he chose not to do that because Obama understood the tradition of the Supreme Court and what happens during this time and precedent. But now you have those who say, well, is Trump's right? And it is. It's the executive branch's duty and right to do so. So I'm not against him doing it. I'm just against them backtracking so hard on what they said at the end of Obama's term. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a politician, yes, you lie, you cheat, you steal, you backtrack, you don't, you know, fulfill promises. But if you said something like Mitch McConnell did in 2000 and what was it, 15, yeah. you have to stick.
Should.
You should stick with it. Because now your constituents are like, what? Hold on a second. Why you... Well, if you backtracked on this, what else are you going to backtrack on?
Yeah.
And that's why you see right now a lot of the leaders within the Senate and the House are losing in the polls in this upcoming election because people have more information nowadays to see what they have voted on in the past. Yeah. And it's easily accessible. So you can't just lie, cheat, and steal and try to hide behind, oh, well, I didn't say that. Oh, well, I was misquoted. Nope, because we got it right here on YouTube. I'll pull up exactly what you said coming straight out your mouth.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
So.
It's called Total Recall for a reason.
You know, and
not
and,
just a movie.
And that's just it. You know, it's as a politician, you have to stick with what you've said in the past unless completely brand new information comes out. Now, okay, hear me out, people. Don't get upset when I say this.
Hear me out.
I think that they're doing this, right? Because they believe they're going to lose seats. They believe they're going to lose the presidency. Yep. So they're going to do this to make sure that they have a Republican Supreme Court, which in my view is ludicrous. You should not have a Republican or a Democratic Supreme Court. It should just be a law Supreme Court who only focuses on the judiciary.
But here's my issue with that. How can you honestly justify or it presume that every associate justice and chief justice is operating without a Democratic or Republican bias? Because Democratic and Republicans Democrats and Republicans just have a way of thinking, and the way of thinking is an instinctual thing.
Well, you see, but that's the beauty of the Supreme Court. You have a number of justices and not just one justice. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If it was just one person, you would probably get the same opinion every time on the cases. Whereas you have a group who comes to a consensus on a case. And that's what makes the Supreme Court so beautiful. Because even if you do have Republican and Democratic and independent thinking people, you have to come together as a group to make a decision one way or the other. And when you make that decision, sometimes you have outliers who, guess what? Vote for the other party. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened recently when the Chief Justice voted for the quote-unquote Democratic side as opposed to what the Republican side favored. I forgot what case it was. Don't quiz me on it, but I just know it happened in a recent case that the Supreme Court has ruled on. you know. But we're just giving you a little bit of information here on the Supreme Court. You can Google it yourself. If you guys had any questions about what was going on and why this is in the news cycle and on your timeline about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and how Trump is going to nominate a Supreme Court justice before this or that, just giving you a little tad bit here so that way you can inform yourself off of what we have given you. And with that, I'm Marky Davis.
And I am grown-ass man. Tell your mama about
Season 2 of True Information.
Two!
So with that, you guys have a great rest of your day.